SixthAmendmentRadio.com.
Well, good evening. How is everyone today? This is The Ultimate Remedy. My name is B. Bork. Wishing you all a great day, a great Sunday. I'm not going to bring up the holiday that we have going on because I don't get too much into the secular stuff that goes on in America, either, holiday-wise or government-wise. I don't participate, you might say. Anyway, today is February 14th in the year of the Lord, 2010. This is The Ultimate Remedy, as I stated, and my name is L.B. Bork. And we're going to be talking with our good friend, Brother Gregory, today. He's got a couple new books coming out, and I don't know if he's done with them, but we're going to be talking about that today. I know one's called The Higher Liberty, and off the top of my head, I don't know what the other one is, but I know it has to do with contracts and covenants and maybe constitutions and the pitfalls of the latter. And as you people know, I wrote the Red Amendment, and basically I stayed in there. The 14th Amendment is our big issue right now. And having that amendment put in place, it basically created a new political system which altered the Constitution. And even before that, the Constitution had issues. A lot of people hold it in high reverence as some kind of, God or something. I don't know what you would exactly call it. It's held in reverence of where it shouldn't be because there are some flaws in it. And it basically has enslaved us since day one. And we'll get into those discussions today. Anyway, with Brother Gregory and I being pretty friendly, I guess, or working together for the past several years, I've taken on the role of bad cop, and he is, I guess, good cop. And I don't know how that melds together, but it works pretty well. Anyway, I have a different disposition. I am pretty hard-nosed when it comes to people participating in the system. Matter of fact, we have a poll going on, Not My Government, right now, and I'm very impressed that over 80% of the people get it, because they say we just need to leave this system and let it die a natural death is the most popular selection on the poll. If you haven't taken the poll, we invite you to go over to notmygovernment.us, get on the forum, and choose wisely, I guess you would say. Kind of gave it away here what the most popular selection is, or vote category. But, if you're listening to what we've been saying for a while, it's a no-brainer in a sense. Anyway, without further ado, I hope Brother Gregory's online. He's been very quiet, if he is. Are you there, Brother Gregory?
Quiet.
Being very quiet. Didn't even hear a chuckle out of you. I guess you're not in a happy frame of mind because you had to do some work today, I guess, huh?
Well, that's actually getting out and doing some physical labor is a lot more pleasant than dealing with some of the other things I have to deal with.
What would those be? The people out there that I've been complaining about for years that really don't want to do anything?
Or the people who want to do something, but it's the wrong thing.
Yeah. Oh, well, let's don't get into that. You and I have talked this week about the latest Patriot, I guess, would you call it a rabbit trail or a distraction?
I call it quicksand.
yeah, okay. Expand on that, I guess. I'll let you be a bad cop for a little bit here.
Well, there's all kinds of things that people have been trying. I mean, I've been at this for 30 years, and, you know, you have certain ideas that just keep making the rounds. And it doesn't make any sense if you understand the law. It doesn't make any sense if you understand morality. But it sounds real good. It's kind of the McDonald's hamburger towards freedom. But it's, you know, I just see it ruin people's lives and waste huge amounts of time and energy and funds following these. And usually somebody's out to make money, and they're a good salesman, and they're able to speak real clear or real fast, and they give you answers that aren't really answers. I mean, us old pros, we listen to it, and it's like painful because you know, they say so many things that are incorrect, or they make huge leaps in logic, and people keep, but they like snake oil salesmen. They make it sound good, and people are very easily manipulated. That's why they're in such a mess today. Is they're willing to believe almost anything that comes along that sounds easy, that sounds simple, instead of taking the road that Christ took when he led men to freedom, or Moses when he led men to freedom. It's about taking on responsibilities, and that kind of four-letter word in the minds of an awful lot of people. Because you have to take on not only the responsibility for yourself, but the other people in your community, or your society, or your whoever you're gathering with. You have to care about each other, and people just don't want to do that.
That's what I've noticed, too. They want to take the easy way out and whatever's good. I was having a discussion with someone today based on going after administrative agencies. And I said, we don't do that. We basically tell them we're out of the system and they don't have jurisdiction, period. They shouldn't even have to worry about the agencies after that. That's the principles that we stand on. But this latest thing, they're telling people to form de jure grand juries. For one thing, I don't know what these grand juries are going to do, because I bet you any money that these grand juries will be filled with people that have Social Security numbers, which doesn't make them de jure, but de facto. They jump gap, like you said, to all these things, and the people that are listening to the people doing this, they don't want to hear about it.
Right.
They want to place the blame on someone else instead of looking in the mirror.
Yeah, that's one of your key flags that you see people popping up with, that it's all the government's fault, it's all their fault. I sent out something to our network coordinators today because somebody was talking about fraud this and fraud that, and the context. I said, I didn't say it wasn't fraud. But I said that, it's really bad strategy to go to the government and tell them you don't have to do what they say because the government has committed fraud. The person understood that signing up for Social Security was a contract and all that stuff at this point, but they said they didn't tell me what it was going to mean, and so it's a fraud. Well, the fact is, how many people since 1933 have had a Social Security number? I mean, it's got to be over 400 million people. There's 360 million right now. So you're probably talking 400, 500, 600 million people had it. How many of those do you think read the Social Security Act? I mean, they filled out the papers, they signed it, but they didn't even read it. Now, you go down to buy a car or anything, and they wanted to set you up with a contract, or somebody's going to do a contract job for you. Don't you read it?
A lot of people don't.
They don't.
I'm guilty of that in the past, of course.
Absolutely. We've been trained to be so foolish. You know, if you go to public school, I never went to public school, but if you went to public school, you know, I mean, it's the bell rings, you jump through a hoop. It rings again, you jump through another hoop. And so you're trained to do what you're told, like a child. They're not raising adults in school, they're raising children. And then when you get to be older, they say, oh, you do this and you do that, and you do it. Well, that's not fraud. That's stupidity. That's foolishness. Now, yeah, we may have been slothful, we may have been somewhat naive or deceived, or we may have made a mistake, but that's a much better argument. Oh, I made a mistake. I shouldn't have this number. I'm sorry, I accidentally got this. This was incorrect. If I owe you anything, let me pay up, and let's be done with it. That's a much better argument, although that even that argument, there's some fine print now that didn't used to be around back in the 80s and 70s. So people have to do their homework before they go jumping off the plank, so that they know what they're up against and count the cost and figure what they're going to be doing. How many people have started down this road and then said, oh, yeah, but I don't want to do that?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the terms to begin with. We explained this to you. Oh, yeah, but I changed my mind. Well, you shouldn't have started.
Yeah, they do. They do make it pretty difficult to get out. I mean, that's the problem. We have a bunch of fence walkers out there that want to have their cake and eat it too. That I've noticed. And
absolutely.
And they're not willing to do what it takes to get out and stay out.
This is the way Christ did it, and I know Abraham and Moses were doing the same. Abraham went back to Haran a number of times before he finally came out with many souls, which I believe he was doing the same thing that we need to do today. He might have wore sandals. We don't have to wear sandals, but the fact is the precepts that he was doing, if people would take the time to find out, and that's one of the things that we write books about, is what people need to do. They need to come together, care about each other, form a body of people, a nation of people that actually have the same values of what Paul calls the perfect law of liberty, and start working together, start being that government, that alternative. Right now people can sit in their apartments or their houses, or they can save up some money and say, oh, yeah, I want out of the system. But tomorrow things may change. So you're going to need people linked together, working together. It's always been the case. If people don't do that, yeah, it's hard.
it's not so much having a guardian look after you either. It's about personal responsibility.
You actually don't have a guardian looking after you, but what we like to refer to it, we're organizing people hopefully in the tens, hundreds, and thousands that was used by governments like the Israelites with Moses, and even the early church used that for almost 1,000 years, although you wouldn't know it from studying catechisms today. But we write about it extensively and show that it was the pattern of free people almost everywhere. But we refer to that as the buddy system times 10. You don't invest any of your rights in the groups that we form. You maintain your rights. That means that you have to voluntarily work together in order to do things. And if you look at early America, when the king was usurping authority amongst some Americans that he didn't have the right to usurp. Some Americans, not all of them, most of them, actually wanted to keep the king. They stood up and they said no. And they were able to do this by simply organizing themselves from the bottom up. And they had already done that because of, you know, Indian attacks and French and Indian Wars, you know, out in the frontiers, you just had to come together. You had to be Minutemen for each other. And today, Everybody wants to sit and watch TV and be free. It's just not going to...
Wait a minute, man.
Yeah, the wait like a minute, man. That's what we got today. So we have to turn that around, but I don't know. That's kind of a broken record with me. It's sometimes maybe we should try to carry the conversation where we get a little interest in another direction.
Now, possibly. What would that be? I guess... You know, I've been criticized, too, about having the same people on all the time. And I go, well, why should I have people on that are negative and don't have remedies? Or think they have remedies and just talk about doom and gloom. Why do we want to go there? And to be honest with you, there's very few people out there that aren't negative and don't talk about doom and gloom.
Right. Well, yeah. I know there's somebody on your network, and he's also on our network, that's had this trouble with, he can't get a driver's license because he won't use his Social Security number. Social Security number to him, I believe, he understands this, at least that's what we point out, is a religious number.
Yes.
In the Bible it says, the way you take care of your widows and orphans, that is pure religion if you do it unspotted from the world. The word world in that particular phrase in the New Testament means organized system, constitutional order, or government. It actually is the specific word used both by the Greeks and the Romans to mean the state. So he's saying you take care of your widows and orphans without being connected to the state. You do it through faith, hope, and charity, free will offerings, and you have to do it in an organized way. But they have Social Security as a way to do it and be connected to the state. And so, therefore, it is a religious institution established by the state to do something that churches always did before the state started getting into that area of activity. So that's not his religion, so he doesn't want that Social Security number, but now they tied it. He can't get a driver's license without that number. He doesn't really want a driver's license anyway, but they've already said he can't have one unless
right.
he uses that number, which is a religious number. So
that should be tell you a
right.
tall tale right there.
Huh?
That should tell you the tale right there, rather.
Yeah. So, okay, now he gets stopped without that driver's license, and they say, oh, you don't have a driver's license. We're going to arrest you, or we're going to do this, or we're going to make you come to court, or what have you. And you can argue jurisdiction with a cop on the side of the road or whatever, but the fact is what if he was in a network of 10 other families like himself, and they were connected to 90 other families, that's the tens, hundreds, and thousands, through a system of volunteer ministers. And just as he was pulling over, he tweeted, or whatever they call it, twittered, you know, his minister. And his minister got a hold of everybody else in the network, which could be hundreds, even thousands of people. In a few minutes, you call a few people and suddenly thousands know because you're in a network. Now, people could start showing up in a few minutes. Now, they did this in England. They did it with the cabbies. They were trying to regulate the cabbies, and the cabbies could shut down London. And they did it through networking as cabbies. That when you tried to give one cabbie a ticket because he didn't comply, I can't remember what it was, they wanted all to comply with something. Suddenly, every single cabbie headed for that street, and there was huge, giant traffic jams. And they repealed the law because they were networked together. I'll give you an example. In Humboldt County, they were, you know, your building inspectors were carrying around guns and threatening people. And the people got really fed up with it. And so they had a board meeting at the local government. And, you know, nobody had to show whether they were citizens or not. But so many people showed up, they packed the entire courthouse all the way out to the street. And they closed down the builder inspecting office in that county. They just closed it down because the people were networked together. But if you're going to have one or two guys show up, they can handle that. They're not worried about that. They can have 10, 20 cops show up, and you're there with you and your two or three buddies because you're not networking. But you got to have something more to get people to become these Minutemen for each other than just those guys who want to be free. Because guys who just want to be free themselves, they don't care about your rights. They don't care about what you need. So you can see there's a solution, is working together, caring about one another. And I can find you lots of guys who want to be free. But I can't find very many guys that care about one another.
Yeah, exactly.
We've lost that skill. You know, I put it sometimes in, I raise sheep, and when I first got sheep, I got farm flock sheep. They're used to being in woven wire fences and don't know how to stick together. And I took them out on the range, about run my legs off. And I used to be a marathon runner. I used to run 26 miles with these sheep. They would not stay together. But now I've got range sheep. They know how to live on the range, and they come together, and they travel together. And you don't have to keep trying to bundle them up. They don't lose sight of each other. And today, that's what we've been dealing with. You and me both have been dealing with people who don't want to work together. They care about their rights, but they don't care about their neighbor's rights. And if you go back in history, Christ, Moses, Abraham, they all said, you got to care about others as much as you care about yourself. And that means the people in your society, in your community, in your nation. And if your common thread is this sense of liberty, of not exercising authority one over the other, then you better start getting together and helping other people try to build a network. That's what we're doing now with the network that we're building, is that If you won't work together with us, you know, like this is my new motto. They always tell you, if you build it, they will come. And I said, if they make me build it, I don't want them to come. I only want the guys to come who want to work on building it.
You know? Yeah, I thought that too, but I built it and people stole it and they're using it for their own profit.
Yeah, see, you mentioned some new books that we've got coming, and you pegged the second one. It is called Contracts, Covenants, and Constitutions, and it has a subtitle of Roasting Sacred Cows. And that's what we're doing, is roasting the Constitution. And it's available to the people that are higher up in the network. And the way you get to be higher up in the network is you work at creating the network for other people besides yourself. It's what Christ said, the first shall be last, the last shall be first. The ones who serve the best, they are the ones who get the first place at the table. So they're looking at, of course, they're actually helping proof it and jogging things around. And the other one is Higher Liberty. Now, we actually have that in print. But you can only get it downloaded to your computer if you're on the network. And so if people want to read that, they have to get on the network. And that takes a 12-gauge shotgun to Romans 13.
Uh-oh.
And,
trouble.
And Titus and Peter. And gets it told as it really is.
Yeah, that's been a real problem. I was talking to someone today, and I have a friend here in town that says the church is the problem. And I have to agree with that. And I was just talking to someone today, and they had this couple talked out of a marriage license, and the church talked them back into it. So anyway, that's how that's going. We'll be back in a few minutes. Got a couple announcements. First Amendment Radio, we're talking with Brother Gregory. This is The Ultimate Remedy. Be back in a couple minutes.
Hi, I pledge allegiance to the King of Kings and to his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Holy nation, and our Heavenly Father, grace, mercy, justice for all.
I just talked with one of these elite the other day, and he told me the latest of everything the elite have planned for the world for the next 2 years.
Shocking. This DVD, Tragedy, Hope, and Reality, the latest title by Lindsay Williams. Our production team at First Amendment Radio has condensed Lindsay's three DVD set down to a single DVD presentation.
So I'm going to tell you right now, up front, everything that I feel will impact your life in a major way in the next 24 months.
2.5 hours of the most important details of what the elite have planned for America and the world.
Within 2 years, he said, you will not recognize the United States of America.
Will you be ready?
And here is the part that startled me more about anything that he said. He said, war is planned, and he told me where it's going to be.
Will you even believe it?
Gasoline will remain the price it is right now until we have war. You're going to be paying $4 to $10 a gallon overnight.
First, you must see it. Two copies, one for you and one for you to give away when you send a support donation of $20 to First Amendment Radio. Use the chip-in event on our website or send $20 cash to First Amendment Radio, 139 East Tulare, T-U-L-A-R-E, Tulare Avenue, Tulare, California, 93274. 139 East Tulare, T-U-L-A-R-E, Tulare Avenue, Tulare, California, 93274. Make copies and give them away. A wise man sees trouble coming and prepares for it. Tragedy, hope, reality.
Now listen to me. The Bible says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. I want you to know that a corporation is Caesar.
Government takeover of the church. This DVD is the most powerful tool we have for waking up those asleep in the pews. The scripture calls for his people to come out of her. The corporate church is the apostate church, the whore that rides the beast. Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from firstamendmentradio.com. Make copies and give them away to your corporate church friends and loved ones. The truth will make them free. They will watch the DVD, Government Takeover of the Church. Order online today at firstamendmentradio.com or call 559-781-3773. Who will tell them if not you?
Well, we're back. This is The Ultimate Remedy. Today is February 14th in the year of our Lord, 2010. We're talking with Brother Gregory, and we're talking about, community and how to get together and not be taken down a primrose path by a bunch of questionable people. I ran into Brother Gregory several years ago, and he's one of the only people in the movement that I trust in regards to what the actual remedy is. And the reason being is he's done research. And what attracted me to Brother Gregory is when I started writing back in the late 90s, I used to make reference to what I was talking about. It just wasn't a bunch of nonsensical patriotic statements that a lot of people tend to make. I came to the conclusion a long time ago, case law is bad to read, to study from or learn from in any case, because basically if you don't know the law, you don't know what these guys are saying. So a lot of people in this movement depend on case law and think the courts make law, but they really don't. They just are telling people what they're doing based on their actions. And the law is already there, and people don't understand this, and that's where we get a lot of chatter and blather, and what I call blathering in the movement. And there's really no law behind what most people talk about. So it's going to get people in trouble and take them down a path of just worthless endeavors. So anyway, back to appreciating what Brother Gregory does. He makes references, and that's what I had decided to do when I started to, you know, do my research. That in my writings, I footnoted things and made references. And Brother Gregory does the same thing. I guess you could say that it's a sign of someone that knows what they're talking about. They're not just making things up. So anyway, yeah, back to what I was trying to get at here is there's a lot of people out there that don't know what they're talking about. And we're going over that a bit today. I know I had another bout of discovery of these people in the movement that are misleading people. And I did some surface research on one of them and came to be that, you know, there's a lot of them sticking together now, which is unfortunate because none of them really know what they're talking about. And anyway, back to the show at hand. We're talking with Brother Gregory, as I stated, and he's got two new books out. I think we should probably concentrate on the content of those books this hour.
Well, the one of the things you were saying, and I wanted to add to it, I agree with what you were saying when people read case law, extremely dangerous practice. I don't think that there's anything wrong with it, and who said it, and why it's important and or not important. And one of the things that will is a dead giveaway to people who misunderstand case law is the date the case took place. People are quoting cases from 1820 as if they took place in 2010. And, you know, things have changed. Things have altered. Relationships have changed. The definition of words have changed. You cannot look at case law without looking at the dates the cases were given. You have to read the whole case. You cannot do this cut and paste where somebody takes, you know, I've seen guys take like a phrase out of a case and quote it as if it proves their point, and the case actually decided against them.
Yeah.
You know, it's and these guys, these charlatans, they do that all the time because it sounds real good. And yeah, that's right. I mean, like Covenants of the Gods, that was one of my first books. I think there's 700-800 footnotes in that. There is some repetition in that book because each chapter stands alone. You mentioned before the break somebody getting a marriage license. Well, that's our very first chapter, Holy Matrimony versus Marriage. And we've got extra booklets that follow up on that. And all those are available. You can download them for free on the net. They're free to you, but they weren't free to me. They took years of my life to write them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but we work here. We're a church, so we work on a donation basis. But the fact is, it's like the Higher Liberty, which is probably the newest one. I'm actually editing during the break.
Oh, did you get it done?
Well, it's done. We have it in a printed form, but we put it out so that some guys could see it and work on it. And then they give us some feedback, and then they say, you know, like, I mean, we got one guy in Texas reading it to his 10-year-old. I think he's 10 years old. He might be a little older now. We're trying to make it as simple as it can be and still yet very clear. I mean, we've put out some of this stuff to theologians and stuff who, of course, immediately argue the wrong point in Romans 13. And now we're quoting them in the book. So we add their comments and show that their comments don't mean a darn thing. They're just talking through their hat or through their seminary hat or whatever. And it really blows them out of the water. We've had a number of theologians look at some of this material, and they don't like it. You know, my own father, when I was attorney and I wrote Holy Matrimony versus Marriage, I gave it to him, and he said it was 100% correct. He says, but they're not going to like you. So that seems to... My father was a prophet. They haven't liked me, but the fact is it's correct. It's the law, and you need to apply it correctly. But Romans 13, for those people who haven't heard this already, everybody would have you think that it says, let every man remain subject to the higher powers. It actually says, obey the government. What Paul was actually, Paul was in trouble with the government all the time for disobeying it. So that didn't make much sense just reading it on the surface. But what he actually said is, let every man remain subject to the higher liberty, or original liberty, because there is no liberty of God, because our liberty was of God, and there is no liberty but of God. And anyone who opposes liberty opposes God. Now, that statement absolutely is in opposition to what they tell you Romans 13 means. But it's absolutely in conformity with the Greek, because the word that he used there is actually even translated liberty in Corinthians. It's translated right, because it means the right to choose, the liberty to choose. And it is the strongest word in the Greek language for liberty. But if you go down to your local church on the corner and you ask them what that means, they'll tell you, oh, that means obey the government. Because they don't even bother telling you Christ came preaching a government. He was a king. He preached a kingdom. He took that kingdom away from men who had delivered the people back into the bondage of Egypt. And he set them free. And he got the Roman government to admit that if you got the baptism of Christ, you were in his government and not in the Pharisees. At that time, people were collecting income tax. Pharisees were collecting an income tax of the people. Israel wasn't supposed to have an income tax, since they took them out of Egypt where they had to pay income tax. They were collecting sales tax. They were collecting property tax. Most of that was collected by the Levites since about 160 A.D. The income tax didn't really get started until about 78 A.D., but it was consolidated under a system of Social Security instituted by Herod, which was the Corban of the Pharisees. And Christ freed them from all that very cleverly. And we go through that in the book, Thy Kingdom Comes, which you can download for free. And we make references and higher liberty to that, but mostly what that is about is to deal with some of these peculiar phrases that ministers are always throwing out, such as Titus and Romans 13, and tell people what it really means. And they don't have an argument. So far, I haven't, you know, if I'm wrong, I tell them, show me. And so far, they haven't been able to come up with anything that would show me that I'm wrong. As a matter of fact, we love it, because then we go and quote them in the book and show them, nope, it appears you're wrong.
Yeah, I don't know what's wrong with people. They tell you you're wrong. Oh, you're wrong. Well, show me where I'm wrong. Well, you're just wrong. They don't want to show you. They just want to tell you you're wrong.
I had somebody up in Portland give the book to a theologian up there, and this guy had a doctorate, you know, so he's probably been to school for about 6 or 7 years, and he gave it to him, just a pamphlet, not the whole book. We have a pamphlet on Romans 13, so it was only about 5,000 words, and he reads this thing, which quotes, you know, everybody from Plato to Socrates to early church experts. I know there's probably 400 footnotes even in this little book. So you can look it up and check us out. Find out if we're telling you the truth. Well, he reads the book and he says, this is his conclusion, I'm crazy. He says he's crazy. And you think, 7 years of schooling and that's your debate?
Well, they pay good money for that.
They couldn't. He could not come up with a reason why we were crazy. He couldn't come up with anything to fault any of the logic. He couldn't say that any of the quotes were incorrect. He couldn't, you know. And finally, we did. We went through several theologians until we finally got one who had the courage to actually try to find something wrong. And then we just went through his critique one by one and show him that. Not only was he wrong, he was abundantly wrong. I mean, he was adamantly wrong that this,
so
this is the
complete shame. Where did they find this stuff? That makes them so wrong.
Ian, the first guys who were translating the Bible, they'd all been to seminaries and they had been to the Orthodox schools that teach Greek and Hebrew of their day, which was controlled by a authoritarian church that had risen up in the 500 years before, 300 to 500 years before. And that authoritarian church had been burning books and people for, you know, I mean, they killed 60 million people because they didn't agree with their brand of Christianity. So they kind of stomped out the truth pretty quick with that kind of bloodshed and murder and mayhem. I mean, whole cities were just wiped out. The people were brutalized beyond anything you could imagine. And so people had lost track of what the Bible really meant. And then these guys come along and start translating it. Well, even though they had gone to these schools, they started looking at it and saying, wait a minute, this can't mean that. And it can't mean that. It has to mean this. And so immediately, when Wycliffe translated the Bible, he was arrested and thrown into jail and suddenly dies in jail. And 2 years later, he's dug up and burned at the stake. Tyndale, commissioned by the king to translate the Bible, and then the king starts hunting him down because Tyndale, when he's looking at it, he's starting to find out it meant something different than these guys said. And so they eventually cut out his tongue and burned him at the stake. Because he was telling the people, trying to tell the people what it really said. And so you can imagine what kind of vulnerable position that puts me in. what it comes down to is that they finally said, well, we better translate the Bible. We got 50 government-paid scholars to translate the Bible, and they had a heck of a time trying to come up with something. But they weren't going to put down Romans 13 is let every man remain subject to the higher liberty. They'd all been burned at the stake. They couldn't put that in there. And these guys were handpicked as it was. And so, and when they started printing Bibles, the authoritarian church started, you know, Gutenberg's partner, he was, I believe he was burned at the stake. I know he was executed. Because he started printing Bibles. And they realized pretty quick, we're not going to be able to stop people from seeing the Bible. So we're going to have to create an army of guys to tell them it means something other than what it means. And that's what you've had for the last 500 years, is an army of intellectuals going out there, scholars, trying to convince the people that it means something different. And we started the program talking about nobody read, you know, the Social Security Act. Well, how many people read the Bible in Greek? How many people read it in the Hebrew? Not very many. And so the only thing you know that the Bible says is what they tell you. And if they were telling you the truth, you wouldn't be back in the bondage of Egypt again. Bondage of Egypt, you had to pay one-fifth of everything you earned into the government. And they took care of you in a system of social welfare. But you had to labor for them. You had to bow down and serve them. And they made their instruments of war, and they took your sons and daughters, and they took the first fruits of your fields and the best of your fields for themselves. And you were in bondage. But now in America, we all think we're free. But you pay far more than 20%, one-fifth, to the government. But they do take your sons and daughters, and they do make their instruments of war, and they do all the things that God said you were to never return to, and yet you have. And your churches have delivered you into this, because they should have known better. Same thing at the time of Christ. Jesus came and said, I'm taking the kingdom away from you guys, talking to the Pharisees, who brought in the same damnable heresies that we're getting from the modern church. And so,
well, that's going on today. Before the break, I mentioned that, a friend had people talked out of getting a marriage license, and the church talked him back into it.
Absolutely.
And that's ridiculous.
Exactly. And, I don't know the particular pastor doing that. Maybe he's ignorant. Maybe he's duped. Maybe he's deluded.
But maybe he
showed him, he would know better. He would not know better. He would. I've had pastors who've read some of our books. And I heard from pastors in the local area they're going to have another big meeting, and we'll see if I get invited again.
Yeah. Well, see, the problem is that people do show. I have a friend in town here that's been trying to, educate the pastors in town or all the churches, and they're not interested. They're scared of their God.
That's exactly it, that you're scared. I have actually, that's what I was going to say. I'm talking to the pastors. I'm showing them the book. And suddenly they start whispering, because they start putting it together and realizing that what I'm saying is actually the facts, actually the law.
Right.
And they say, I can't tell this to my congregation.
Why?
I can't tell them this. Why? It's the truth. Oh, yeah, I know, but this... I couldn't say this to them. He's whispering it. Why are you whispering? There's nobody even near us.
Well, as far as they know, the CIA is probably listening.
Well, they're so afraid.
I know.
Of the truth. They're not fit to be pastors.
No, they're not.
And people need to change the guard. Now, it's kind of hard to change the government of the world, but if you can't change your church, then you really are in bondage. And people don't even know what the church is or what it used to do or what Christ said to do and what he said not to do. I sit in a room full of pastors and I quote Christ, and everybody, they look at each other like, what? Where does it say that in the Bible? I said, yeah, right here. And they read it like they never, ever saw it. And they probably didn't. Some of them have read the Bible, but for some reason, when I tell them, all of a sudden it starts to rattle their cage. But that's my job, and I'm pretty good at it. I can rattle their cage so that they can see the bars, to realize that they've been sold into bondage by their own brothers. They've been sold into bondage. And people are going to need the church. You get out of the system, you're going to need another social welfare system for those times and emergencies. But it has to operate entirely on faith, hope, and charity. It cannot operate on forced contribution. If it does, you're not free. But you are going to need help. People are going to need help. And you're going to need a network to do that. And, listening to radio shows is not enough. It's great to get the word out, but if you don't do anything, that was one of the amazing things. How many times that Christ required that you be doers of the word, not those who say, Lord, Lord, but those who do it the will of my Father. He just goes over and over it, on and on. But then you go to the churches now, you don't have to do anything. You just have to believe. That's it. You just have to believe.
That works for me. Tight. That's easy. I'm just kidding.
But this is an age-old story. Some of the people quote Titus 3:1. That's a great example of a false doctrine created by Titus. And it says, in Titus 3:1, it says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Well, just real quick, I don't know how much time we have, but the word magistrates isn't even in the text. They added that. They thought you needed to know that they were talking about magistrates, so they just added that in to the translation. That's pretty handy.
Kind of like Jiffy Bible or something.
Yeah. Yeah, and this is the King James.
Add your own ingredients and make it works.
And, you know, if you actually go through it word for word and start translating, you'll see it says, remind them of their arrangement in the beginning and the liberty. That's what it says. The word principalities, it's often translated in the beginning. It has to do with things in the beginning. And the word and powers, that's the word exousia for liberty. So that's what we're supposed to be reminding the people of when they used to be free souls under God. That's what it's saying. But they don't tell you that it's what it's saying because the King James would have had it burned at the stake if you had translated it that way. It's right there in the text. It goes on even more so, and we talk about that in the book. That's another one that people like to quote is Peter, 1 Peter 2:13. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Well, actually, they left out words there that they should have put into the text. You have to read the verses before that to understand the context of what they're saying. And we go through that. It only takes about two pages, and you can blow that completely out of the water. Paul was saying, quoting David, and David said, let their table be of snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto you. And what David had said is, let their table become a snare before them, and that which should have been for their welfare, let it become a trap. And that's what's happened. Social Security is a trap. Bind you into a system, make you a surety for death. And they're telling you this over and over again in the Bible.
Yep.
But your preachers aren't.
Yep. Well, there's a reason for that. And I guess it could be safe. Thanks for joining us, Gregory. We're out of time.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks. See you next week on the Altar of Temptation. Take care.